If you're interested in starting your very own podcast, Blueberry is one of the top hosting companies in the world. You can get your first month free with Blueberry by using the promo code CINEMAVINO. You can also use the hosting estimator on their site to determine the best plan for you. And don't forget, that's CINEMAVINO to get your first month free. Welcome back.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Outside the snow is falling.
Yeah, enjoy those sleigh bells. Those are a pain in the ass to put on there. So
I feel chilly.
Slow down. Chew your food. So we're going to take a look at Ghostbusters Afterlife for our little podcast here. Spoilers will be here. So just fair warning.
Spoilers abound.
If you haven't seen it, go see it.
And we love this movie. I think everyone here is one of our favorites for the most part. So yeah, we were rocking a bone for this one.
Yeah. I mean, I was a Ghostbusters fanatic.
Yeah.
Fair warning.
Yeah.
My you know, whole life. I would say, honestly, I couldn't estimate how many times I've seen Ghostbusters Part 1. 50?
Yeah.
100? A lot.
Oh, God. It's more than 50.
Oh, yeah.
It might be less than 100, but...
When we got back from the theater, because I saw it with my GF, we watched... It was on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like... We're just going to watch this.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Taylor, we get it. You have a girlfriend. You have a throw in our faces.
I said GF.
Mm-hmm. I thought, man, I didn't know you were gluten free.
Oh, well, that popcorn wasn't gluten free.
Or is it?
I don't know. Is popcorn gluten free? Oh, shit. Who knows?
Taylor, how much did it cost you to go see a movie in the theater?
Well, I think I undershot it earlier because now I'm rethinking. We got the Dolby surround sound. In the afternoon on a Saturday, but we also got some popcorn and a soda, and it was around $41, $42,
$43. Yeah.
That's with your refreshments and popcorn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but obviously I'm getting back more and more to going to movies, but it's like, it still feels weird in like
it a special occasion.
It's like, I want popcorn. I want the experience. So I'm going to,
give me
the, you know, like the big drink. I mean, I just want to like experience being in the theater, you know?
Yeah. I've gone to enough movies, you know, this was her first one in 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was very shocked how loud the theater was. I'm like, well, this is kind of a special theater for it.
Yeah.
But it ain't cheap no mo.
No.
It ain't cheap.
Yeah. I had seen a few films, you know, since all the shenanigans had hit. And most of them, I would all make sure that they were during the day when nobody else was going to be there. And I would specifically get seats where nobody else was sitting. Somebody touched my elbow in this film.
Fuckers.
It's ridiculous. They were on either side of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, why am I not at home?
That
is dumb.
Yeah. That's how somebody gets put in a half Nelson. Yeah. I don't know, a full Nelson or a half Nelson, but either way.
It's a half on that one.
I was like, where is my blanket? Where is my sippy cup? And where are my subtitles?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Where are my fruit roll-ups?
Yes. Ooh,
you know?
My gushers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, it's weird because like a year ago, for like perspective, I think Noah, my son and I, we stayed in the house for about 5 straight weeks, like in November, December. Well, like I didn't, I mean, we took walks around the neighborhood, but we didn't leave for like 5 straight weeks.
Yeah.
So it's just from where we are now, it's so weird like to be able to go to a theater.
Oh, still, 100%, yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
So it's like, give me that popcorn.
Yeah.
It's like, I honestly don't care what it costs right now. I just want the experience of like being able to sit down in a theater.
That's kind
of
how we were. Like we got it all online, all the tickets online, and we had a gift card to AMC and, you know, proud sponsor of CINEMAVINO. I was still shocked by the prices. This was in the afternoon too. It was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Man, it's expensive, but it was worth it.
And the theater that I went to is not that far from Quiznos. Actually, we still have not heard back from them.
Fresh.
So,
wait, that's not their tagline.
No, but it is extremely fresh.
Their tagline is, you know, put a brownie through the toaster.
And here's my anger. You know, like with most boozy restaurants, you can bring your own wine in and pay a corkage fee.
Yeah.
How come I can't walk in with some goddamn Stromboli into like AMC and be like, I'm eating this in here.
Yeah.
Here's $10.
Yeah.
This is my corkage fee.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, I'm going to bring my Quiznos in.
Yeah. Here's a Malbec from Argentina. I'm going to pay the fee. I'm going to sit here and drink the whole bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
During the previews.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, I've got, you know, I've got 7 footlongs back here. And it was like, I bought 3 three seats just for these footlongs. I'm going to eat one through the entire time. Here's my corkage fee.
It's like, no, I don't have a glass. Don't bother me. I'm going to drink straight from the bottle.
Dicks.
Also, the theater I went to is criminally close to a beloved hot dog place here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, called Coney Island And those are just delicious chili cheese dogs. And if I could have 4 to 6 of those, and then also a hostess pie,
yeah.
Well, I'd be right as rain.
Well, but you're just
I would be wrong as rain.
Yeah, it's like you're just not going to make 2 hours into that film.
No,
there's going to be an issue.
Yeah,
yeah, there is a distinct feeling of victory after you see a film.
Yeah,
once you take like. You know, you go there afterwards and eat chili dogs and then talk about the film. Yeah, I get it.
I mean, I would say like at Coney Island.
2 birds, 1 stone.
Coney Island does their Coney's fully loaded, or at least you have the option, and that's the option I think you should take.
And then I'm fully loaded afterwards.
Yeah.
To me, when I have like, say, like you say, 3-4 Coney's, it's like I'm on about a 45-minute clock, so I cannot handle.
Yeah, your time frame is.
You cancel your plans for the day.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, you have to be ready to hunker down.
You'd be in seclusion on the West Wing.
Exactly.
So anyway, we saw this movie, Ghostbusters Afterlife.
We'll wait to hear back from Coney Islander.
And AMC. Yeah.
And Quiznos.
And those delicious Hostess fruit pies.
Yeah.
Actually, I think they're Mr. Freshly's fruit pies now.
We'll work that out.
Yeah, whatever.
Somebody will want to pay us.
Mr. Freshly.
Mm-hmm. So, Ghostbusters Afterlife. So, this is the... it's the second sequel to the original film. And it is a actual full-fledged sequel. It's considered canon, unlike the 2016 film.
I never saw it.
Which is, a reboot.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a reboot.
Yeah.
And so second sequel, you're talking Ghostbusters 2, and then this film.
This one, okay. It's basically a de facto Ghostbusters 3.
The fourth overall film.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the third in this series.
Yes.
So, and it follows the same characters, and it features some of the same actors playing the same parts in the original, too. So there will be spoilers for this film and spoilers for the first two films. Again, it's like I said in my written review, it's like if you haven't seen the first two Ghostbusters films, especially the first Ghostbusters film, it's like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, you got to do it.
Your parents have fucked you up. They have not raised you correctly. Stop this now. Like, go watch the first two.
Yeah.
And
go
honestly,
get some Stromboli and head to the theater.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. You gotta go see it.
And you know what? In the meantime, get you a Quiznos. Mm-hmm. They're delicious.
And what you do is you go to Quiznos, you get those Funyuns, and you tell them to send those through the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Put them on a plate to get them nice and crispy.
All right. Well, they'll do the chocolate chip cookie. They won't do the brownie. I don't know about the Funyuns, but that sounds good.
I think they will do it because they want it. You have it your way.
You take them out of the bag first.
Yeah.
You got to pay for the bag because once they open, you know what? So Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Actually, a toast Funyun doesn't sound that bad.
It does sound pretty good.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You get an extra like crispy, like
little
crunch
on it.
Like a double bait.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I'm just speaking real here.
Wow.
So
I don't even want to talk about Ghostbusters anymore.
We just need some Funyuns.
This is a full-on Quiznos pod.
Yeah.
So we're back. We do honor the original. We start out the film, spoiler alerts, BT dubs, with Egon running away from a mine. I was thinking they weren't going to show him the entire time. I thought he was going to be just kind of obscured in the background, mentioned, talked about, because they hardly even say his name or his last name, Spengler.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the film until near the end.
Yeah.
They talk around him so much that he kind of encompasses a lot of the film.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great.
Mm-hmm. Very respectful.
Mm-hmm. But they, obviously it's not set in New York like the first two films. It's some rural town in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Where Egon is known as the dirt farmer.
Yeah.
Because he's crazy scientist guy doing his craziness out there that nobody knows. Yeah. Nobody talks to. He doesn't have any friends.
Yeah. He's kind of a hermit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bo show.
Which is an interesting way to take his character. That's
what I thought, too. It's like, it was a weird, but it kind of makes sense for him.
Kind of fits. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, and they kind of explained it, but it was kind of like, this guy who is, you know, just went off and did his own thing. I was like, that was a little unbelievable for me, but I kind of understood what they were trying to do with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, watching the other films and frankly, knowing the characters so intimately or feeling like I do, I feel sure that 100% Dan Aykroyd would have gone with him.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The race dance would have been like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, I'm just as much of a nerd as you are.
Yeah.
And out of all the Ghostbusters, like, he would have believed him and been like, oh, yeah.
Unconditionally.
Ivo Shandor, Space Catalog, Tobin Spirit Guide. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And would have been all down with it. But, and, you know, for me, it would have been great had Egon Bentley, or even in his diary, been like, I know Ray would have come with me, no problem, if I had told him what's up, but I didn't want to do that to him, so I've, you know, taken it upon myself to isolate myself and do this, and he's my backup.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
Like, didn't want to risk his life, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I needed that, like, two or three lines to make that more believable to me.
Yeah.
And make the Egon's actions seem a little more, like, relatable, empathetic, you know, like him abandoning his family. It's like, that's a pretty dark way to go with that for his character.
Yeah.
It would be one thing, like, you know, you could spin it to where, like, his family realizes, I mean, kind of like the 13 ghost thing, where it's like, oh, you've got this long-lost relative that, you know, you didn't know about. Turns out you're related to Egon Spengler, and he left you this house. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would work.
You know, it's like you're his closest living relative, and he didn't know about you.
And this is directed by Ivan Reitman's son.
Right? Jason.
Directed the original? He didn't direct the sequel, did he?
He did. He directed both. One and two.
Yeah.
Jason Reitman. Okay.
And so Jason appears in Ghostbusters 2 as one of the kids at the party that Dan Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson.
He-Man.
And where he's like, you know, my dad says you guys are full of crap.
Yeah.
that's Jason Reitman.
Nice. Mm.
Yeah.
And then, like, Dan Aykroyd tries to say something. He's like, no, he says you're full of crap. So, great part. You know, it's like, I remember that very well.
Who are they going to call? He-Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it for most of the movie, I mean, the Ghostbusters, I write this in the review, it's like they are kind of a distant presence. It's kind of distantly connected to the mythology.
Yep.
You know, production-wise, like, the music is obviously a clear reference to the original.
Very, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And,
the soundtrack was great. It took them way too long to give me my Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
Though.
They kind of hold it back a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if they are intending to do maybe another trilogy, because I'm sure they're going to do another.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's
the credit sequence, I'm sure they
are. Yeah. And that was my whole take on the movie.
Oh, it
was
like, I didn't see the after credit scenes. I left.
You didn't know that? So no, do you know what they are?
I've heard.
Yeah.
I don't know the full story.
So Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Sigourney Weaver and Bill Murray are doing the whole, you know,
the psychic
thing, and he marks the cards. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It was like,
oh,
I mean,
shit.
And she calls him out.
And then the second one is
Winston.
Winston kind of, he like takes back the, you know, Echo One. He takes back the firehouse. And it becomes this whole thing where he's like, we're like back in here. He was like, you know, I've created this empire with all this, but I will always be a Ghostbuster. And then, you know, the trap, kind of the red light starts flashing, you know? So it's like, it kind of gives us, so, and that to me, this is going to sound weird, but saved the whole film. Because I thought to myself this entire time I was watching it, I was like, man, they're doing me a favor. They're doing everything from the first film. I mean, from Zool to everything, they just brought it all back in. But what I liked what they did was they also made it appealable, is that a word? To children.
Yeah.
It was attractive. Like, so like, yeah, it was like they made to where like you could take, so like if I had kids, I could take a kid to this and be like, look, this kid is fighting, you know, the ghost or what, Muncher.
Yeah.
I don't know how about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how
they had their
that.
Own Slimer.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Muncher. But I was like, man, this is, I was like, they are doing everything that I like. The first thing I saw was when they finally go into the house of Egon and the books are stacked. All of, I was like, That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Then, it's a magical book.
Then they find his little, like, his little laboratory or whatever, and there's this mold, you know, mold and fungus, like, you know? And yeah. I was like, that's cool. Then they show, like, all the little things that the little kid was putting on his, you know, it's like, these are all contraptions from the first. Like, God, they're doing justice to me. Like, mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
And the reason why I liked the ending of that, the final credit scene, it's like they were like, okay, we did Afterlife to do justice for, you know, one and two, but now they left it completely open to create a whole new Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. and you don't have to have the kids, you don't have to have Paul Rudd. It's like basically it's all back together now, where you can have a whole new cast.
Yeah,
like they basically just left it open to where we're gonna do a whole new Ghostbusters,
or you could mingle the two together and have the original cast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, but you know, you're not gonna have the kids in there again. I mean, having kids in movies, clearly we've seen, is, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't keep up with that.
Yeah.
But I liked that enough where I was like, man, so now you can actually maybe make a couple of Ghostbusters with a whole different cast that you could keep for a couple of movies. Mm-hmm. Well, so that
I thought they were going to have, and because I missed the after credits, I really thought I had heard that Rick Moranis was going to be.
I did too. Yeah.
It's too bad. Now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he wound up on the cutting room floor or something, but
I doubt it.
As far as I know, I thought it was one of the first films that he was going to film, like, coming back.
Yeah.
I know we got good old Janine Melnitz at the very beginning, just briefly. Mm-hmm. And I needed more. I mean, the original film, here is exactly what I wanted in a third Ghostbuster film. I wanted it like fucking grumpy old men with all your, you know, returning casts. And then they could also have, you know, I don't know, their grandkids or whatever new kids on the block that they wanted to add in. But I wanted old grouchy people. The other thing I liked about the originals is it's kind of, you know, dark or inappropriate comedy, very SNL type stuff. And I liked the backseat science of like, okay, well, we've cobbled the shit together. Like, I really enjoyed the trap being on like a little RV car that they were driving around. Mm-hmm. But I really, this movie made me think a lot of the movie Super 8 with the kids running around.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I got the Stranger Things deal from Finn Wolfhard being the older brother. But he wasn't in it nearly as much as I thought he was going to be.
Mm-mm. It's the sister.
It was mostly about the sister and her friend. What podcast was the name?
Yeah.
But it was, it did several things okay. I needed them to do one thing like really well.
It's like the Ron Swanson don't half-ass a bunch of things, whole-ass one thing.
One thing.
Yeah.
I needed them to whole-ass one aspect of it.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd was great in it. He's great in everything, but I just needed more.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I agree.
Spoiler alert. I would give it like a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
It was serviceable. It was enjoyable. I'm never going to get the movie that I wanted.
Yeah.
But they did give enough nods, that I enjoyed it. There was just, enough.
Yeah, I was going to say, they did enough for me to like it. Put it that way. No. Like, there are so many things that I wish they would have done differently, but they did enough for me to be like, okay, that was worth it. And it's like, was it a great film? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. It's like, but I did like it enough.
I think I finally articulated my feelings on these kind of movies in my review. I finally found the way that I wanted to describe it. It was like, you know, because I'm talking about like this movie and Indiana Jones and Star Wars, and it was like there's kind of a thankless thing of when filmmakers go back and try to do new movies about these, where it's like, and I tell my wife this, where it's like, these are the movies that made me love movies. Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. Star Wars, I mean, like, you know, all these, like Star Trek, and like all these classic movies made me love movies, even like Goonies. I mean, it's like, this is why I love movies. And it's like when you go back and make a movie now like that, it's like you're not just chasing the movie itself. You're chasing the way it made your audience feel.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like
100%.
You know, it's like Phantom Menace. It's like when Phantom Menace came out, people were like quitting their jobs. People are getting fired from their jobs. People are waiting in line for weeks to go see that. And it's like, it's just a movie. Yeah. You know, it, I mean, it's not going to make you like throw down your crutches and get up and walk.
Yeah.
It's just a movie. And it was like, people don't want like just a good Star Wars movie. They want to feel the way they did when the first Star Wars movie came out. And like the spaceships are fighting and Darth Vader appears. They want that feeling again.
Yeah.
Or Indiana Jones is out running the boulder, or, you know, it's like they first see Slimer and Venkman. It's like, you know, it's like to some degree you can't have that back.
No.
Yeah.
It's like what I've heard about cocaine. I've never tried cocaine, but they say the first high is the best.
Oh, you haven't? We'll do that. Yeah, the, and we'll podcast about
the night's young.
Yeah.
That, you know, that people chase that first high.
Yeah.
And it's the best ever. And it's like, to some degree, you can't get it back. Yep. You know, and it's like.
100% agree.
And it's like, I enjoyed this movie.
Do you do a lot of cocaine?
Well, I can.
We can arrange that.
Yeah.
It's like, I enjoyed the movie for what it was, but it's like, I think eventually it's like, I had to wrap my feelings around the idea that it's like the feeling of watching Ghostbusters ain't coming back for the first time.
Yeah. The that was my problem with the, Ghostbusters, You Make the Call. I thought Kate McKinnon was great in it and, you know, they used some of the actors, but they didn't really pay homage to it. I mean, they had kind of some of that SNL feel, but it just didn't do it for me in terms of it. It felt like almost Scooby-Doo, some of the ghosts and stuff. I don't know how to explain it other than that.
Yeah.
But what I realized watching this new one is the closest I'm going to get to a third Ghostbusters movie is another film, I think, directed by Ivan Reitman, and that's Evolution with David Duchovny and Orlando Jones and Julianne Moore, where there's like some alien meteor that smashes in and starts terraforming an area and all these weird alien. Oh, Sean William Scott is in it too. But that gave me the same kind of vibe that Ghostbusters 1 and 2 did. So, and actually, I think we should podcast on it at some point. But do you guys remember that film at all?
Yeah.
Evolution?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, it's weird. It's like you can't get back that first feeling you had of watching a movie.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of how I felt. It's like, I think I'm finally at peace. It's like, you know, even if they had made a Ghostbusters 3 and brought everybody like that, the grumpy old man, it's like, I don't think it's still going to be the Ghostbusters that we want. It's like, you know, it's like of the 80s, of its time, you know, with that feeling that you had then. You know, it's like you can't quite get that back. It's like, let's say they do another Three Amigos movie or another Goonies movie. It's like, it's just not going to be the same.
No. And that's why I think they did enough in this one to, they appeased me.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, little things here and there. I was appreciative of it. They left the ending open or the second credit scene. Yeah. That was, they did enough.
Yeah.
You know, cause you're right. You're never going to get that back. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, literally we were watching the first one. I mean, just, it was on right afterwards. And I was like, God, these graphics suck.
Yeah.
But I couldn't stop smiling.
It was magic.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I mean, I might have had some alcohol in my system. Oh, we just don't know.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was like, I was smiling just watching it. I'm like, wow, just watching that one. And I literally just came from the recent release. And I was like, but why is this one still better?
Yeah.
I was like, why is this one still better?
Than it's the like, you don't think about the graphics. It's like, you think about like dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Yeah. I just wanted off the cuff remarks. I wanted it to be a Bill Murray centric film and others that just had so many alternate takes or just like, hey, let's just riff, let's just fuck around, let's see what works, you know, let's throw it up on the wall what the plot is and let's work around it.
Yeah.
Mad shit about it.
And one thing I will throw out there is Rick Moranis was a very underrated part of that first movie.
Oh yeah.
It's like Bill Murray is great, Dan Aykroyd is great, everybody else is wonderful, but it's like supposedly his little bit about like when he's talking about his clients who have smoked salmon from Nova Scotia.
Oh yeah,
he's using a deferred
Ned Fleming.
That supposedly that was improv. Like that supposedly he was on camera and just cooked that up on the spot, and that is awesome.
That is great.
So he's a big missing part of Ghostbusters.
Also, Rick Moranis, I need Janine Moore, and I need fucking Sigourney Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I need her to be a Ghostbuster. Mm-hmm. I need all this.
Yeah. And so you'd say 6 out of 10. What would you say?
you're not wrong. Six, maybe a 6.5. It's like, because I felt like it did enough for me for a film. Mm-hmm. I was like, it did enough for me, but you're right. I mean, as many times as I've seen Ghostbusters 1 and 2, which 2 is not good at all compared to 1. But
Peter
it's like,
McNichol is the Rick Moranis of 2. He is spot on.
Steals it.
Yeah.
He's killing it.
And I would say a 6, 6.5. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would never watch this one as much as I've watched the first 2. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just how movies are, though. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, you know.
And the actress that played Phoebe, Egon's granddaughter. She's great.
Yeah.
The kid that played Podcast, he was great.
The comedic value.
Serviceable.
I thought Finn Wolfhard was good.
Yeah, he did good.
The mom was good.
Yeah.
I mean, they were well acting.
They were all good. I would say the actress that played Phoebe was great. Everybody else was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paul Rudd. Everybody loves Paul Rudd. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's great. But yeah, it just doesn't do it for me.
Another thing I address in my review is that I understand what J.J. Abrams was saying whenever he did Force Awakens, and he was writing the script, and he was like, he had the challenge of like, where do we bring in Luke Skywalker? And he was like, the minute that we brought him in earlier in the movie, because he said earlier they brought him in pretty early in the movie, and so all of a sudden, like, Rey and Finn, all these other characters don't matter anymore. It's like, this is Luke Skywalker's movie.
Yeah.
He's like, all of a sudden, these characters just stop, and all you care about is Luke. And he was like, that's why we had to do him at the very, very end, because otherwise nobody gives a shit about these characters because they're there to see Luke Skywalker do Luke Skywalker stuff. Now, watching this, I understand where it's like all of a sudden Venkman and, you know, Rey and all, they show up and it's like, this is what they stopped the movie right there. And it's like, now this is the Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I get the challenge of that.
I will say, as soon as the Ghostbusters showed up, I was like, damn, yes. Like, I was having the feels. I was like, they're all in uniform again. Yep. They're all getting together. But then when they showed Harold Ramis and his actual face, I was like, I'm not going to say I was teary.
Oh, I got teary.
I was very misty.
I
was so misty it was raining.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There was definitely a tear from my right eyeball. And I was like, damn, that's good. But it's like, and again, that. The one good thing about
and obviously you can't have him talk.
Yeah,
like that.
In the graphics nowadays, I mean, I was just like, God damn, that is good. That
yeah,
is perfect.
And
I was
why
like,
why couldn't Mandalorian season 2 had that
clunky Luke Skywalker?
Yep.
Yeah,
still respect for going that route. But, you know, you just
and that was kind of a meta moment for the movie because. I know that, like, Bill Murray and Harold Ramis didn't get along. For about the last 20 years, Harold Ramis was alive. And then a huge falling out of a Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And didn't speak for all the way up until right before Harold Ramis died. And so having them interact with him in that moment was felt very meta. You know, it was like that conflict to me was the elephant in that room.
Yeah.
Oh, Olivia Wilde as Gozer.
Yeah. Gozer.
Mm-hmm. It's great.
See,
I almost couldn't see her in it. And I was like, oh, I know who that is.
I didn't either. And it wasn't until we left the movie and we were chatting. I was like, what'd you think of it? And she's like, well, you know, I liked it a lot. And she's like, I was shocked that Olivia Wilde was in it. I go, what'd you just say? And she was like, that was Zool. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I had no idea. No idea.
I love that he brought the, the dogs back.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
And the Stay Puft. Every franchise wants their little fucking Grogu, their little baby Yoda.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, it was choice. It was all the callbacks I loved. All the little extra gadgets and things. Yeah, that was great. It's definitely a worthy successor. But it's just nowhere near on the level.
Yeah.
You know, my wife was asking, I was like, that's probably the best they could have done with what they had.
I think that's where I'm at on that film. It's like, I know a 6, 6.5 might sound, like, oh, you didn't like it. No, I this is going to sound weird. I fucking loved it for what it did for me.
Yeah.
But as for, like, the franchise or the film, it was like, if it was just some random jabroni, didn't know what the hell was going on. I'd say, it's about a 6, 6.5. Mm-hmm. Like, if you had no idea what Ghostbusters was, I would still say it's an okay film.
Yeah.
You should definitely see it.
Yeah.
But it was like, 6, 6.5.
Yeah. It does sound shitty that we're giving it that low of a score, but you have to understand like how highly we think of the original, like even the shitty sequel from 89 with Viggo.
Yeah,
the Carpathian. We can still quote that.
I don't know. I still fuck that daily.
I do too.
I still fucking love that film.
Yeah, I like. I know it's shitty. I can watch it. I know it. Like, but I fucking love it. And Peter McNichol in there as Janosch Poha.
Well, I mean, to me, it's like it's like the Ghostbusters Part One. It's like the pizza analogy. Ghostbusters Part One is like gourmet, top notch pizza.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Part Two is cheap, like Simple Simon's, like low grade, but it's still pizza.
Same thing with Ninja Turtles. The original Ninja Turtles, absolutely phenomenal.
And pizza,
second Ninja Turtles, you can watch it and you're like, this is bullshit. But it's also a little too raff.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I mean,
now. Ninja Turtles 3, that is absolute dog shit.
Oh,
like, I will watch it one more time in my life, but that is on my deathbed.
Yeah, and that and that is the type of pizza that a hobo rejected that you ate.
Yeah.
And it was like, the hobo was like, too crunchy. And he threw it out, and then we ate it.
Yeah.
It's kind of Three Ninjas. I don't know if you remember the Three Ninjas trilogy.
Yeah. Oh, I'd watch all those.
Yeah.
Tum Tum?
Yeah. And but Rocky. The ones with Lonnie Anderson are the best, and Hulk Hogan. I think that's two...
That one is two.
Knuckle Up.
Yeah.
There's Knuckle Up and there's
Surf.
And they go
Kicks.
I don't know.
I think they go to Witch Mountain in one of them, but I don't remember which one that is.
Shit.
So,
anyway.
Been another episode of Cinema Vino.
It has.
Oh, yeah. Final thoughts on Ghostbusters? Any?
Final thought is go see it. I know we're kind of this on delayed, but I believe it was the number one movie from being released.
There are two after credit scenes, which I missed.
There are two after credit scenes. I would stay till the very, very end.
Mm-hmm. The very end. They go all through the credits.
There's a mid-credit and an end.
Mid-credits and the very, very end. And the very, very end is actually, quite frankly, the best one.
God damn it.
And that's the one that honestly, that is the one that solidified that film for me.
Yeah.
Where I was like, okay, they are saying we're going to do it. They're going to keep doing them. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
But at least I feel like this film, quote unquote, could be a standalone. They're like, hey, we did this film as a third, but now here's the new evolution of, you know, Ghostbusters. Because they had the firehouse back. They've got the Echo back. And it's like, we're ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Winston's going anywhere. He needed that paycheck. And also... He looked the best of all of them.
Ooh.
Bill Murray looked rough.
Yeah.
I just had a thought. If they do a sequel, I kind of want them to focus all like their references on the second movie. I want them to find like the slime stuff.
Because they'll be back in New York. If they do it right, how I feel... They should be back in New York because everything is back into that thing.
Peter McNichol.
I want Peter McNichol.
Yeah, Peter McNichol's got to be back.
If I'm not getting Rick Moranis, then I best get me some Peter McNichol.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Viggo.
Yeah.
Old Viggo.
Or whatever Viggo. Dress Peter McNichol up as Viggo? Whatever.
Yeah.
Man, I know they destroyed the painting, but maybe he hopped into another painting. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if the entire sequel is based off of the original sequel... Cool.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah. Put him in like an Impressionist Monet painting where he's kind of blurry. I'm down with that.
One of the fettuccines?
Yeah. He's in the lily pads. I'm totally down with that.
Damn it. He should have put that in the film. Damn, that would have solidified it. Damn it.
Oh, the actual painting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Egon had in his underground thing. Oh. Yeah.
Like the Viggo?
Yeah.
Or the Ghostbusters painting?
Yeah. Yes.
And them holding a little baby?
Oh, that would have been perfect.
I need this. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they had their own ghost, which was named Muncher. Like,
it wasn't
bad, but like I also had heard Slimer was going to be in this.
That's what I thought too.
No. Yeah, I heard Rick Moranis and Slimer was coming.
Yeah,
I don't know about you guys, but I want to give Slimer a proton pack. Yeah. I want a ghost to be a Ghostbuster.
Yeah,
because wasn't he? He was part of the team
in the cartoons.
In the cartoon,
I think he was administrative. Yeah,
I mean, he was HR.
Yeah,
Anyway, if for no other reason to activate your nostalgia, this is a good film.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't expect anything great. Keep your expectations down. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah,
100%.
You know, it's not part one. It's not even part two. But
it's Electric Boogaloo.
Exactly. It is what it is. So, But we thank you guys for joining us, and we will be back next time for some Beatles documentary. And yes, this time we're drinking Decoy by Duckhorn. This is just a little extra something to round us out for the second podcast of the
evening. Yeah.
Nice little Cabernet. It's been around forever. It's kind of a historical wine. You can find it almost everywhere all over the country.
Yeah, by Duckhorn Decoy. Kind of like the Ghostbusters has some decoys.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anywhere where Blockbuster stores still are.
Goes well with Stromboli.
Ooh.
So.
And Boboli.
Pay that corkage fee. get that into your theater.
It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno.
Ooh, that would be a sponsor.
That would be a hell of a sponsor.
Anyway, eat Quiznos.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Stromboli.
Yeah. Not with a bang, but with a Black Forest ham.
Bet your balls is Neil Diamond.
Ooh, damn, that sounds good.
So we will see you guys real soon.
Ain't afraid of no ghost.
You can listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwatfermovies.com.